Middle East looks like it's about to explode into World War III, and we've got not one, not two, but three prophetic nations that are now threatening Israel that are all part of a major prophetic war called Gog and Magog. Let's talk about it tonight.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Today is Thursday, the 1st of August. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Of course, I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome all of our new viewers and listeners. If you're watching by YouTube, watching by Rumble, listening by podcast, Apple, Spotify, whatever the case may be, we welcome you, first of all. Second of all, let us know if you're able to comment. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And again, do us a favor, guys. Hit that like button. Hit that bell notification. Help us share this content. Help us to get it out on these algorithms. And you guys on Apple and Spotify can help us too. If you'll just simply give us a good review, that'll help boost our platform as well out there on those particular social media platforms on Apple and Spotify and whatever the case would be. And if you've not picked up our free app, we want to encourage you to do that today. You can pick it up right there at your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, Google, Apple, download it today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast is going to be right there at your fingertips, readily available for your convenience. All right, guys, a lot of stuff has happened in the past 24 to 48 hours that we need to get you up to par with. This is major, major events are unfolding in the Middle East. The Israel Defense Forces have taken out senior Hamas leader, and this has sparked what many fear is an all-out, full-blown war, as Iran is now coming out saying that we have a duty to avenge his death.
These last 24 hours have been remarkable for sure. Taking out the leader of Hamas, a terror organization, a man with 17 American lives on his hands, finally meeting his demise. And then, of course, you've got the senior military leader to Hezbollah, responsible for an attack that killed children in the Golan Heights, the northern Israel area, just also within the last day or so. So serious, significant events. I think Iran is likely to respond, but I think it's going to be probably a lot more muted than it was in April when it responded to those large number of killings of IRGC generals and senior leadership in Syria earlier this year. Iran operates its influence through its IRGC through the region, and you sever that, they lose a lot of power and influence, and that's actually what's at stake with with these leaders being taken off the board.
This is Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, talking about American, U.S. knowledge of any of this. Let's watch.
This is something we were not aware of or involved in. The best way to bring temperature down everywhere and to put us on a better path is through a ceasefire in Gaza.
Your thoughts on that, sir?
It might have been worthwhile not having this administration cut into the loop to make sure that whoever was planning these attacks would be successful for operational security. I would think if Israel was behind it, there would have been at least some forewarning to military forces so that we could be prepared and protect ourselves.
Again, according to the latest reports, Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei vowed to enact a, quote, harsh punishment. Hamas also swore to seek, quote, dire consequences for the strike that recently killed its political leader responsible for conducting its negotiations outside of the war-torn Gaza Strip. Hezbollah, another Iran-backed ally in the Axis of Resistance, promised to stir up anti-Israel sentiment among its allies. So all these factions are all vowing revenge against Israel. This also comes after Hezbollah terrorists blasted a football pitch in the Druze town of Mijal Shams, I believe that's how you pronounce it, in Israel's occupied Golan Heights. Again, this left 12 young people, including children, dead. This led to Israel Benjamin Netanyahu vowing to strike back after the deadly strike that took place over this past weekend. And Mossad assassins easily have eliminated, again, this Hamas leader. This comes as earlier Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that his country is in a direct fight against Iran's axis of evil. Quote, "This is an existential war against a stronghold of terrorist armies and missiles that Iran would like to tighten around our neck." He went on further, adding that Israel has heard threats from all sides after Israel's recent strike against Beirut. "We are prepared for any scenario, and we will stand united and determined against any threat," the leader said. Quote, "Israel will exact a very heavy price for aggression against us from whatever quarter." Then, according to the Jerusalem Post, the United States has deployed 12 warships. So 12 warships are now en route to the Middle East, again, amid the rising tensions there between Israel and Lebanon and these threats from Iran. Now, just to do a quick recap here, in the past 24 hours, a key Hezbollah commander who had been orchestrating terror attacks since the 1980s was taken out by Israel. Then we have had the assassination of a Hamas leader that has been taken out. And then there is now unconfirmed reports that a top figure in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has also been taken out in Damascus. So it seems like Israel is systematically wiping out these commanders and these leaders in top positions, one by one by one, taking them out. And of course, as a result of this, this is like someone slamming a hornet's nest with a baseball bat over and over again in the entire Middle East. And I'm not, guys, again, I'm not saying that Israel shouldn't be defending themselves, but it is what it is. As they are defending themselves and are taking out these top commanders and these leaders, it is the hornet's nest is stirred up. And again, I'm going to show you in a minute, we don't have just Iran threatening Israel right now. We've got three nations, and by the way, are all prophetic nations, all threatening Israel at the same time. This is huge news. It is also being reported that the red flag of revenge has already been raised over the Jamkaran Mosque. Iran has raised the red flag of revenge over the dome of this mosque following the Israeli assassination of Hamas leader. The Iranians are also using a term called a, quote, special operations. Again, they're using a term called special operations to describe what they have planned for Israel. All right, now I want to take a pause for a second, and I'm going to go back to last month, and I'm going to show you an article. I'm going to show you these three nations right now that you may not be aware of. All three of these nations are, I believe, a part of this axis that Netanyahu recognizes and understands as a threat to Israel and their existence. And I'm going to show you that this is prophetic, and I'm going to show you these three that are threatening Israel. All right, this was on July 12th. Listen, look at this headline. Russia warns Israel of, quote, dramatic consequences over its strike on Syria. Again, this was last month, but a Russian foreign ministry spokeswoman warned that Israeli regime strikes against Syria that were taken, that's when this was conducted, will escalate tensions. Look at this. Will escalate tensions in the region and push it to a dangerous abyss. Speaking to reporters during a briefing on Friday, again, this spokeswoman said Russia condemns the recent Israeli aggression. Notice the terms and the verbiage they're using, against the Mediterranean coastal city of Banias in the northwestern province of Tartus. She added that the Israeli aviation carried out the strikes late on Monday under the pretext of arms depots located there. Quote, "We categorically condemn such irresponsible actions. They increase the probability of the spread of the Middle Eastern conflict and push the region to a dangerous abyss." She goes on, she emphasized that Russia once again urges the Tel Aviv regime to refrain from resorting to violent actions against Syria and disregarding international law, which may cause dramatic consequences. Remember, the international court is condemning Israel, saying that they have violated these laws and calling them and saying that they are criminal in nature. And we talked about in our last segment, this is prophetic in itself because we know, according to Zechariah 12, all the nations of the world, guys, will eventually turn against Israel. And then, of course, you had Turkey's Erdogan, who, again, issued an open threat to invade Israel itself over the war in Gaza. We just talked about this, but we feel like it's relevant to talk about it again and bring it up in conversation because of the nature of what's going on. Again, Turkish President Erdogan this past weekend appeared to threaten to invade Israel itself in support of the Palestinians and put an end to the nearly 10-month-old war that Israel is fighting against Hamas in Gaza. And now, friends, you have, again, Iran. So listen to these three nations. I want you to remember this. You've got Russia, you've got Turkey, and you've got Iran. All three of these nations are threatening Israel. Now, again, if all of our students of Bible prophecy and you love eschatology, you're going to recognize these three nations. These three nations are all mentioned in the coalition. They are three of multiple nations that are involved in this coalition. And by the way, these three nations are the main players of this major war of Gog and Magog. And guys, I want to show you this. This is breaking news. I wasn't going to even, this just came to me while we were putting this piece together. Look at this. This is a headline from CNN. Iran and her allies plan a large-scale attack on Israel within 72 hours. Wow. Iran and its allies, as of this recording on Thursday, August 1st, are planning a large-scale attack on Israel within the next 72 hours. So that puts us all the way up to this weekend. Within this time frame of Thursday all the way up to Sunday, they're planning a large-scale attack on Israel within 72 hours. Let me read this right here on your screen. Iran and its allies are preparing to launch a large-scale attack on Israeli forces within the next 72 hours. According to CNN, this was a warning from U.S. Department of Defense officials. The heightened alert follows the recent assassination, again, of the head of Hamas political bureau in Tehran. The assassination significantly raised the stakes in the ongoing aggression between Israel and the resistance groups in the region. Hello. And again, who are those resistant groups in the region? Well, as far as nations go, you got Iran, you've got Turkey, you've got Syria, you've got Lebanon, you've got Iraq, you've got all these, and then you got these factions, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, you got all these factions, okay? So again, this is major breaking news, guys, as of the reporting of this. Now, let me go back to this. I want to show you this. This is why this is so significant. In Ezekiel 38, now the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel, right? This is what he saw in the future in the last days. The Lord came to him and said, "Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya are also with them." Will it not be interesting if Ethiopia and Libya get involved in this? All of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all of its troops. By the way, that's Turkey, the house of Togarma from the far north and all of its troops. Many people are with you. And by the way, Rosh and Meshach, these are southern Soviet Russian nations. So in other words, in this coalition that will rise up and come and invade Israel in the latter days, I don't believe we're there now, but man, are the hoof prints, are they ever being loud? Are they ever being heard galloping across the land in preparation for this major war of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39? You've got Persia, Iran. You've got Turkey. You've got Russia. These three nations, along with Ethiopia, and Libya, all of these nations mentioned coming against Israel, and at least half of them now are forming an alliance threatening Israel. Wow, what a day to be alive, my friend. What a time to be alive and witness these things. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited in the latter years. You will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Again, this is why I don't believe this is now, because Israel is not dwelling safely. Again, it says that they will come like a cloud and invade the land, and they will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages and a peaceful people who dwell safely without walls, neither bars nor gates. Again, friends, this does not describe the current condition of the nation of Israel. But again, we see, I believe, what this is, what we're seeing right now, with the coalition of nations gathering, threatening Israel, and the moves they're making, is a prelude, is a sign to us who understand Bible prophecy, that it's time to get ready. It's time to get your house in order. It's time to, it's time to sound the alarm. It's time to swing that sickle. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We are seeing things happen at breakneck speed. Now, here's something of a concern. This is a piece by Michael Snyder, themostimportantnews.com. Look at this headline. The U.S. is not prepared to fight one major war, but three major wars are rapidly approaching. Snyder said, we could soon find ourselves fighting multiple wars simultaneously. Unfortunately, a study that was just released by a congressional panel concluded that we're not even ready to fight one major war, let alone three. Let me give you some. Let me give you a quote from this congressional study. Quote: the U.S. military is no longer prepared to fight in a major war, according to a new study conducted by a congressional panel. Though the threats the U.S. is facing are the most serious and most challenging, it has been almost a century. The U.S. defense base is not equipped to meet the moment. This is according to a report from the Commission on the National Defense Strategy. This was recently published. Among the biggest problems outlined in the report are troubled Pentagon and a failure by the federal government to properly address threats emanating from adversaries like China and Russia. The United States has fought a global conflict during World War II, which ended nearly 80 years ago. The nation was last prepared for such a conflict during the Cold War, which ended 35 years ago. It is not prepared today. This is according to the commission's report. How is this possible? Well, let's talk about it. We've spent $820 billion on national defense during the most recent fiscal year. Where is all the money going? Let me say that again. $820 billion was spent on national defense. Two of the areas that the study really focused on were our recruiting failures and our grossly inadequate industrial base. According to this commission, it recommended a 132-page report released this past Monday that the U.S. overhaul its national defense strategy and $900 billion defense budget to address recruiting failures, a grossly inadequate industrial base, and underfunded cyber and space domains. The commission was tasked by Congress with analyzing the 2022 defense strategy, which was written prior to Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine, and the evolution of the strategic partnership between China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Quote, there is potential for near-term war and a potential that we might lose such a conflict. This is according to Eric Edelman, who is a vice chairman of the Commission on the National Defense Strategy. And he told this to a group of senators. Now, you couple this with the fact that we are having great difficulty recruiting young people. We are resorting to woke tactics. In fact, some are saying we are a woke military. A decade of declining recruitment numbers for the Army is almost entirely attributable to a significant drop in male recruiting, as female enlistments have remained relatively flat, internal service data reviewed by military.com shows. Well, that's not a surprise. The mainstream media has condemned toxic masculinity. So this is not surprising to me. Since 2013, male enlistments have dropped 35%, going from 58,000 men enlisting in 2013 all the way to 37,700 in 2023. This is according to service data. Meanwhile, female recruitment has hovered around 10,000 recruits each year. So again, you've got all, our military is depleting. The recruitments are depleting. We have a weak military, according to this commission report and other sources. And here we are, the Middle East is on the verge of completely erupting in flames. And Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said that the U.S. would intervene militarily, if all-out war breaks out. In fact, again, this is why we reported earlier that there is now, according to reports, there is 12 U.S. warships already en route to the Middle East as we're doing this report. Quote, we remain concerned about the potential of this escalating into a full fight, and I don't believe that a fight is inevitable. This is according, again, this is according to Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. The State Department even issued a recent warning instructing U.S. citizens not to travel to Lebanon. The U.S. on Wednesday urged its citizens not to travel to Lebanon, citing rising tensions between Israel and the Lebanon-based Hezbollah group. The U.S. State Department raised its travel advisory to Lebanon to level 4, which says do not travel. This according to the State Department that is advising Americans in Lebanon to depart if possible. Meanwhile, the war in Ukraine continues to escalate, and the Russians are steadily gaining ground. In fact, according to a recent report, Russia is now producing almost 3 times more artillery munitions than the U.S. and Europe combined. Let me read this. Quote, Russia appears on track to produce nearly 3 times more artillery munitions than U.S. and Europe, a key advantage ahead of what is expected to be another Russian offensive in Ukraine later this week. Russia is producing about 250,000 artillery munitions per month, or about 3 million a year. This is according to a NATO intelligence estimates of Russian defense production shared with CNN and other sources familiar with Western efforts to arm Ukraine. And then there comes the possibility, and it's a strong possibility, that China will invade Taiwan. So we have to ask ourselves, what's going to happen the moment that China invades Taiwan? What will we be doing? Will we be at war with China? Now, this comes as a report indicates that China now possesses the world's largest maritime fighting force, operating 234 warships to the U.S. Navy's 219. This count of China's fighting ships encompasses all of its known active duty manned missile or torpedo armed ships or submarines, displacing more than 1,000 metric tons, including the 22 missile armed corvettes recently transferred to the China Coast Guard, but not the approximately 80 missile armed small patrol craft operated by the plan. And of course, this comes as there's a $4.5 billion aircraft carrier that's still sitting because it's being repaired and can't even sail for the next 5 years. So guys, I don't want to keep you long today. Listen, for all of our partners, our listeners, I've got an important update I want to share with you at the end of this program. I ask you to stick by. I've got a prayer request. You know, I don't do this very often unless I felt like I needed to share some information with you guys that I would love for you to be in agreement with me in prayer. But I want to recap this. Again, I know this was a lot of information in about 30 minutes of time, but we've got a lot of things going on. Again, I want to remind you that Iran, with her allies, are planning a large-scale attack on Israel within the next 72 hours. So we have a 72-hour window, guys, that all of our intercessors, our prayer warriors, we need to be in prayer about this. This is a serious matter. We've got 12 U.S. warships that are already heading in the direction of this. We've got 3 prophetic nations that are all involved in a future Gog-Magog war, Ezekiel 38-39. You've got Russia, you've got Turkey, and you've got Iran, all threatening Israel. Now, this doesn't include This doesn't include the likes of North Korea. This doesn't include China. So this, what I'm trying to tell you, friends, this thing could blow out and blow up to be what we would call, if you want to use the verbiage, World War III. So again, I know it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to pray about. It's a lot to think about. And again, this is not to alarm anyone. It's to inform you so that you know how to pray and you know how to prepare. So having said that, listen, we're not to fret. We're not to worry. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, we have a free app. We would love for you guys to download that app. All this information that we're sharing with you today, you can find a lot of this in written form on our main website and articles there that we cite sources. It's all there. You can catch all the podcasts, all the breaking news, all the prophecy updates. All you got to do is hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go. And of course, guys, if this ministry blesses you, equips you, encourages you, informs you, all the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, or you can give through the main website. Again, that's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And there's going to be many different ways you can give electronically once you go to the website. And or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. All right, guys, so for you guys who have stuck around, again, I want to, first of all, I want to tell you that we love you guys. We appreciate you. All of our partners, you know who you are. Our partners, our supporters of our ministry, you guys that email us, send us letters, send us gifts, support us financially every month. Again, it is through your generous support that we're able to do what we do week after week after week. As you know, I want to give you an update on some things that are going on and give you some current updates. As of you know, many of you guys who know that keep up with our ministry and you're like family to us, you know, last year, probably around November-ish, December-ish, I was requesting prayer because I was having some physical ailments going on, a lot of like neuropathy stuff, pains in my fingertips, my joints. I'm talking about legs, fingers, neck, everything else like this. And this went on, and I took upon myself to do a lot of extensive research, radically changed my diet, and within about a month, turned it around. In fact, I went back and looked at my journals, and right around the middle July, right around my birthday, mid July or a little bit after, it may have been right at the end of July, things started turning around. The symptoms began to dissipate, and I felt great. And there was still a little bit of stiffness in my neck and whatnot, but this went on February, March, April, May, June, felt great. And then probably about 2 weeks ago or so, those symptoms started coming back again. So after, again, doing a lot of research, I've been to physical therapists. I've had blood work done. I've went to different doctors, whatnot. What I believe this is a flare-up of whatever is going on. It has the classical symptoms. And I know, leave it up to me to be one of the rarities that has this, because this is, no offense, ladies, but this is predominantly seen in a lot of women. But these are classical symptoms of what we would call, if we had to put a name on it. And look, it don't matter. I'm not intimidated by names, because come on, I believe in a name that is above every name. Come on. And that's every disease, every ailment, every prognosis. But if we had to put a title on it, it would maybe be fibromyalgia. Now, most doctors don't even understand it fully. Some is linked it to traumatic events, stress, physical injuries. Well, guys, I've got all three of those working for me. I've had traumatic things in the past. I've lost a lot. I've lost all my parents. I've lost my step parents. I've lost best friends. We just lost our beloved pet of 18 years. That was a lot of stress on our family. And I have a dear friend of mine that I've known for 20 years that's dying right now of liver failure. And unless the Lord intervenes in a complete miracle, He hasn't. Last time I got an update, he hasn't eaten in almost a week. He's not conscious to have conversations. He's not responding to a lot of. He's just falling asleep in this. So it looks like he's not going to be here much longer. So there, if there was a stress indicator, a trigger that I could point to and say, well, this is probably what caused this flare up. I can see that. I can see that happening. I can see where that would be. So here's what I need you to do. I want you just to come into agreement with me in prayer. Guys, and anybody who has dealt with anything like what I'm talking about right now, or autoimmune disorders, or anything that just literally, guys, it makes you, your muscles hurt, your nerves hurt, your ligaments hurt. There is times when you literally feel like you, somebody has beaten you with baseball bats. What you don't know is many times I get on here and you would not know, but I'm pushing myself to do these broadcasts. Why? Number one, it's what I'm called to do. And number two, I'm not going to let the devil keep me down. I will keep preaching the gospel. I will keep pressing through and I will keep moving forward. Number three is because of you guys. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Man, I'm trying not to get emotional, but listen, I recognize that your prayers has carried me through many seasons. Many of you guys, all of our, for you guys who've been partners with us for the entire 13 years we've been doing this, you know, and I know that this is not my first rodeo as far as infirmities that I've been through. And by the way, guys, a lot of these infirmities that I've asked for prayer over, they've all been in conjunction or linked with, again, what we're talking about today. Now it's kind of like, it's no longer a mystery, because now I look back and look at the puzzle pieces. Ironically, that's what we do on this broadcast, is we take headlines and events and we put the puzzle pieces together and give you the big picture of these things. Well, I can now see that in my own health. I can see, oh, that makes sense why I had TMJ issues. That makes sense why I had pelvic floor disorder issues and pain there. That's why, that makes sense why I had stomach problems, because all of that is connected. These are what we call their flare-ups, and they're stress-related, emotional-related, physical-related. So I believe that what is going on right now is a flare-up. And I believe that this too shall pass. I know what to do as far as spiritually, that is to pray. The Bible says, if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith over him, and he shall be healed. Now, obviously, you guys can't lay hands on me and anoint me with oil, but guys, Jesus said, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. So I'm coming into agreement with you, and I'm believing that this too shall pass. Not only am I coming out of this flare, but I pray that this stuff goes into remission and never surfaces again in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, y'all want to agree with me on that? And I'm going to agree with you as well. And listen, it's not I don't think it's a coincidence that we're at the last leg of the race on finishing our prayer room. We're nearly finished with our prayer room, where we're going to live stream intercessory prayer, where you're going to send requests in, and I'm going to pray in agreement with you and pray live on the air. Now, isn't it interesting that all this is happening right in conjunction with that happening? I don't think that's a coincidence. So come on, the devil is a liar, and you need to say that to whatever you're going through as well, in Jesus' name. So again, I appreciate your prayers. This too shall pass. Listen, I'm on a Whole Foods plant-based diet, so I've not changed my diet. Now, I let up my reins a little bit. I didn't, I started introducing some things I probably shouldn't, like some trans fats in here and there. And I don't know if, I'm not going to blame necessarily that's the main culprit of why that came in. Again, I think it's almost like a trifecta of things happening. It's like the perfect storm. We've had rainstorms every single day here in Georgia, every day. And I know if you have anything like arthritic or in your joints, if that barometric pressure changes, come on, can I get an amen? Y'all people, y'all know what I'm talking about. Things change. So there's these things, there's these factors that play in. So listen, I don't want to keep y'all, I don't want to be 15, 20 minutes on this and further when I have to. Again, I appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. And again, as I've said, this too shall pass in Jesus' name. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on, Lord willing, we will be right back here tomorrow night, Friday night, August 2nd, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.